Merry Christmas, everyone. It's enough out of you. We're here today to celebrate the gift that God has given us. And we look at this nativity scene and we say, what a gift. It's peaceful. It's tranquil. It brings us a sense of calm in the midst of our busy and hectic lives. And it allows us just to think, oh, just for a minute, if my life could be so simple. The gift that God gives us isn't the simplicity of this scene. It's the gift of his only begotten Son who became one with us. And like every single gift that is given to anyone, it demands a response. First response is thank you. But the second response, it's much more demanding. It calls for a change. It calls for an action. It calls for a response with the depth of our very being, not just a superficial response. And quite often, as we know, when we receive a gift from someone, what makes it valuable is more the intention that it comes with the gift. You know, there is a cute story of a missionary teacher over in a developing country, and one of her students comes to her with this wrapped present at Christmas and says, I have a gift for you. And her first thought, of course, is, this family is so poor, they can't possibly have a gift for me. And then she takes the brown paper and she starts to unwrap the package, and it's this beautiful seashell. And she realizes that in order for this child to get this, he would have had to walk miles over rugged ground to the shore in order to get it for her. And so she looked at the seashell and she said, it's beautiful, but you would have had to walk so far to get it. And he said, the long walk is part of the gift, the most important part. This dynamic of the long walk, I think, is for each and every one of us what God has done for us. God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, came into our existence. And sometimes we think our life is so hectic. I've got so many demands. I've got so many stresses. It's not fair. Their life was simple, but it wasn't. Their life was messy, just like ours. Honestly, Mary, at nine months pregnant, riding on the back of a donkey. Any woman here ever been pregnant thinking, gee, that's what I want to do at 9 months. Ride on the back of a donkey. Yes, that's what I'm hoping to do. No, I'm pretty sure. No. And then they get there. Now, at the last Mass at St. Margaret Mary's, there were people downstairs in the hall, about 120 of them. And so I said, you guys are just like the like Mary and Joseph. There was no room up here for you, so down you go. But that's the dynamic. There was no room. They couldn't get a nice hotel room. They couldn't get any place that would be warm and comfortable. But instead, they're shown to a barn. And as romantic and as peaceful and as tranquil as it looks, it's really anything but. In the midst of animals, with the smells, with the dynamic, our Lord and God is born. If it wasn't real, what a ludicrous story. Who would believe it? Our Lord and Savior born, his first cradle, a manger, the place where food is placed for lower life forms, animals, becomes his cradle. He should have a cradle made of gold and precious woods and gems. But no, he enters this world with us. in the messiness of life, he walks right into this world with Mary and Joseph and completely dependent upon them. In the weakest, humblest, most vulnerable way possible, our Lord and God enters humanity. That is the gift we celebrate. The journey that God so loved the world that he came down to be one, not just one of us, more profound, one with us, completely with us. And that is the beauty of this celebration, that now he walks with us. Now he allows us to be more like him. You know, some people come to church on Christmas, and in their heart of hearts, they don't really like organized religion much. I've got good news for you. No one has ever accused us of being organized. I'm just saying. And the other reason why people don't like religion is because if it's real, it demands a response. And the response that it demands challenges us to the very depth of our being. Because if it's real, if God so loved the world that really Jesus Christ became one with us, that calls me to live in a certain way. I was having a conversation with a student this week, and he said, you know, I think all these rules of religion, they may just be to try and keep us in order and just to keep us in line. And I said, okay, but do you find that when you live the commandments, you're actually happier than when you're not? And he says, well, yeah. God has given us these guidelines not to oppress us or to restrict us, but to lead us to happiness, to give us the gift that he came into this world that we may receive it. Today, I want to, at the end of Mass, each family, I want to give you a book by Matthew Kelly, his latest book called Resisting Happiness. And the subtitle reads, A True Story About Why We Sabotage Ourselves and Our Own Happiness. Why we feel overwhelmed. Why we set aside our dreams and lack the courage to simply be ourselves. And this book is about how to start choosing happiness again in your life. God came into this world to show us who he truly is. The Old Testament people were afraid of God. They thought he was trying to catch them doing something wrong. But let's just be honest, that would be so easy, right? I mean, it wouldn't be any effort at all for God to catch us doing something wrong. That's just like a daily occurrence, right? Or maybe hourly, whatever. No effort at all, but instead he didn't. He came into this world to show us who he truly is, that he wants to be with us, to help us, to guide us, to give sight to the blind and to cure the lame and to raise the dead, to give us a hope that this world tries to tear out of us each and every day, to give us a sense of peace that this world tries to displace every day with the stresses and anxieties. He came to give us happiness that only comes from God. And when we live in a manner that is in accord with our Creator, a happiness that is within the very depths of our being. This gift is about how to achieve that. It's a simple, engaging read. I challenge you, read the first 20 or 30 pages, and after you do that, then you won't put it down. Because it's real. It's not high theology. It's real, down to earth, living our life authentically and real. But the most important gift that we celebrate today is the gift of our God becoming one with us. The gift of our God choosing to become a human being so that we could become one with God. And for that, we are called to be grateful. And gratitude is what ensures what is extraordinary yesterday does not become ordinary tomorrow. Without gratitude, a sense of entitlement takes over and we begin to rot our souls. Without gratitude, we get old and grumpy, or even young and grumpy. Gratitude keeps us young. It anchors us to the present moment. It reminds us what matters most and what matters least, and fills us with the resolve to carry out the great mission God has entrusted to us. It's a quote from the book. My brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this Eucharist today, we are celebrating not an historical event, but a mystery that makes itself present to you and to me today. That God comes into our world in a new and dynamic way and wants to be made present, wants us to give birth to Him. And in order for this to happen, we need to receive the gift that God wants to give us. I love the passage in the gospel today when the angel appears to the shepherds and he says, I bring you great news. I bring you good news of great joy. To you today is born a Savior. And then the angels rejoice and they are joined in a choir. Heaven rejoices because we receive salvation. God rejoices when we receive salvation. God is the one who's rejoicing even more than we are, and His desire for our happiness is even more than our desire for happiness, because His love for us is that great. Today, as we celebrate this Eucharist, let us ask for the grace, the help, the humility to receive the gift that God wants to give to you and to me today. The gift of happiness, the gift of peace, the gift of his very self to you and me. And not just historically, but today in the Eucharist. As we receive the glorified and resurrected body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, God wants to become one with you and me anew, so that we can go from this place and be the presence of Christ to each other, to our family members, to our friends, in this world in which we live, this world that needs the peace, the love, and the mercy of God more than ever.